power with term limits, but they did limit the president.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, the only true and living God, who loves us so dearly, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is having faith in God. To have faith in God means to have faith in the Word, in His Word, the Bible. One way to know what the Bible says is by attending worship services every Sunday morning. My text is Romans 10, 9 and 10, which states that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you confess with your mouth, does not mean that a spoken affirmation of one's faith is a work that merits justification. But such confession does give outward evidence of inward faith and often confirms that faith to the speaker himself. That God has raised them from the dead, Paul does not mean that people need to believe only this individual event with no understanding of Christ's death, but rather they need to believe in the resurrection along with the whole complex of truth connected with it, particularly Jesus' sin-bearing death in mankind's place, followed by this resurrection that showed God the Father approval of Christ's work. With the heart, one believes. Saving faith is not mere intellectual agreement, but deep inward trust in Christ at the core of one's being. Acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior. Believe in thy heart that he who died for our offenses has been raised by thy justification, and depend solely on him for that justification, and thou shalt be saved. And be sincere in this, for with the heart, duly affected with a sense of guilt and of the sufficiency of the sacrifice which Christ has offered, man believeth unto righteousness, believeth to receive justification. For this is the proper meaning of the term here and in many other parts of this epistle. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He who believes aright in Christ Jesus will receive such a full conviction of the truth and such an evidence of his redemption that his mouth will boldly confess his obligation to his Redeemer and the blessed persuasion he has of the remission of all his sins through the blood of the cross. One grand object of the apostle is to show that simplicity of the gospel scheme of salvation, and at the same time, its great efficacy. It is simple and very unlike the law, which was full of rites, writs, ordinances, ceremonies, etc., each of which required to be perfectly fulfilled. And yet, after all, even those who had the utmost zeal for God and as conscientiously as possible observed all the precepts of the law had not attained to justification, nor peace of conscience. Whereas both Jews and Gentiles who had believed on the Lord Jesus, according to the simple declaration of the gospel, were freely justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. And they had the witness in themselves that they were, passed from death to life. Verse 11 states, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Paul again cites Isaiah 28:16 to emphasize that trusting in Christ, not works of righteousness, is the pathway to salvation. Shame here refers to the end time humiliation that those judged on the last day will experience when they are sent to hell. And howsoever the Jews may despise this gospel, because it comes not unto them with pomp and ceremony, it puts those who receive it into possession of every heavenly blessing. And this is according to the positive declarations of the prophets. For it is written, Isaiah 28:16, Isaiah 49:23, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He shall neither be disappointed of his hope, nor ashamed of his confidence, because he has that faith which is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for." Hebrews 11:1. Romans 10:12 states, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is richer to all that call upon him." All are equally welcome to this salvation. Here, the Jew has no exclusive privilege, and from this, the Greek is not rejected. One simple way of being saved is proposed to all: faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the same Lord who has made all and governs all and is rich in mercy to all that call upon him. Romans 10:13 states, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God bestows his saving riches on all, both Jews and Gentiles, who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not shall anyone who hears this doctrine of salvation and credits it as he is commanded be permitted to pray or supplicate the throne of grace in vain. For the prophet Joel had declared in Joel 2:32, "Whosoever shall call upon him, invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, shall be saved, shall have his guilt pardoned, his heart purified, and if he abide in the faith, rooted and grounded in him, showing forth the virtues of him who has called him out of darkness into his marvelous light, he shall be saved with all the power of an eternal life." Romans 10:14-15 states, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." With a series of rhetorical questions, Paul considers the chain of events necessary for a person to be saved. The logic of these verses is clear. Number one, people will call on Jesus to save them only if they believe he can do so. Number two, believe in Christ cannot exist without knowledge about him. Number three, one who hears about Christ only when someone proclaims the saving message. And number four, the message about Christ will not be proclaimed unless someone is sent by God to do so. This is why Paul was so urgent about spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth, for he believed that the only way to be saved was to hear and believe in the gospel. Paul is not talking here about Old Testament believers who look forward to Christ, such as Abraham and David, nor is he talking about infants who die in infancy. Since salvation comes only from hearing the gospel, the feet of those who bring the message about Christ are beautiful, probably because the feet carry the messengers to their destinations. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus was crucified on the cross. He suffered, bled, and died that we may have eternal life and a better life on earth. On the third day after his crucifixion, Jesus arose from the dead with all power in his hands. So let us live by faith in God's word. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager. Today's topic is focus. If you have ever flown in an airplane, you know that your perspective of the earth is far different from what it was when you were on the ground. This is the kind of perspective God wants to give us concerning our lives. As we focus on God, instead of ourselves and our circumstances, our perspectives change. By focus, we mean prioritizing your relationship with God by setting spiritual goals for yourself. Things like spending more time with God, studying the Word of God, praying, praising, and living according to the Word. Don't get bogged down in the circumstances of life. At the moment, we see only our immediate problems and burdens, but God sees the whole. He sees the present and the future. He wants to lift us above ourselves. He wants us to focus on everything in light of his plans. Psalms 138:8 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." Keep your heart, mind, and soul on God because he sees the whole picture and he knows what is best for you. You can trust him because he loves you. Remember, we have all violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. Yet, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and arose so that you may have everlasting life. So put God first. Trust and obey his word, and focus on carrying out God's plan for your life.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Something new is going on, and the show is called New Day with your host, Rhett Palmer. That's me. And you can listen right here on WCNO 89.9 on your FM dial at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., and 3 p.m. I'm Rhett Palmer, and it's a new day.